episode of How to Be a Texan. How you doing today, Kyle?
Wait a minute.
How you doing,
You've Kyle? Reversed roles. What the heck?
I am hijacking and taking over this episode.
Holy crap. I am taking over this episode.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, we're gonna talk a little bit about beekeeping.
I am a buzz.
Does that
about
sound
this
good?
Episode. Yeah.
Oh, you're buzzing.
I want to be a better person.
Yeah.
And I think this is a beautiful topic. How do you like those for dad jokes?
Yeah, yeah. So this episode, the roles are reversed. So I'm playing the role of you, and you're going to play the role of me.
Well, wait a minute.
So what do you think about doing it? What do you think about doing an episode? I have what?
You have content. I don't.
No,
I don't.
That's
why I just facilitate.
Yeah, no, I have
no content. And you add actual content.
No, no. Okay, so roles are reversed. So we're going to do an episode on beekeeping. What do you think about that, Kyle?
I think it's beautiful. I love it.
You already failed in playing the role of Kevin.
Oh.
You're supposed to say, what does beekeeping have to do with Texas?
Well, that's right. That's a good question, but I think I can answer that.
Yeah, so what does beekeeping have to do with Texas?
Well, do you like breathing and living?
I do.
Do you like eating food?
I do.
Well, there you go. That's all you need.
All right.
We need these freaking bees so that we can stay alive. Is that oversimplified a little bit?
No, I think it's spot on, actually. It's really kind of very, very true and scary at the same time.
It actually is scary. You know, the more studies I do on this, and I've been doing this for probably 8 years now, is we got a declining number of honeybees across the planet. Mm. And the scarier thing is that we've got a declining number of honeybee beekeepers. And so guys and gals like me are declining. I don't know if they're dying out or losing interest or whatever, but pesticides, that's a big deal and whatever. There's a bunch of things that are nuking out the bees, and they're just so stinking important to our global ecosystem. So to be a Texan, to be a citizen of the world, we should care about bees because they're the great pollinator. And the great pollinators, the ones that keep our crops going, doesn't matter what crop, name any crop, those bees, I mean, now they're butterflies and all kinds of other bugs that are awesome at pollinating, but the bees are...
The bees are the workhorse. They're the workhorse of that, right?
They are the workhorse.
Yeah.
When people say you're as busy as a bee, you should take that as a huge compliment because those those stinkers are hard-working suckers.
Yeah. Now, I was thinking about it this weekend. I was, of course, doing some barbecue over the weekend. I always do.
Oh, yeah.
And I've probably never told you this, but the honey that you... Like, honey is like a big ingredient for barbecue.
Yeah.
You put it in sauce, you put it in glazes. So I was doing some ribs and I made a glaze and I always use the honey that you deliver because it's, you know, I know it's natural and it's, you know, well made. So I got a little jar and every week I'm like pouring stuff out of, and you've had it over here. You just probably didn't realize I was putting it in there.
Yeah. Well,
you make some great honey over there. It's really, really, really good stuff.
No, it's not me. It's my little bee friends. So
now, bee friends.
Your eldest son, Andrew, has been disappointed in me for years because he's wanted me to give him like vats and vats and vats of honey so he can experiment and make mead.
Mead.
Because there's large quantities of honey that goes into mead production. Mm-hmm. And I'm not a commercial beekeeper, so I just don't have enough barrels of honey to give him so he can start experimenting. One of these days, that's my goal, is to have enough so that I can supply Andrew all of his mead needs.
That is a very Andrew thing to ask for.
He's literally like, you say, hey, Kyle, man, do you mind giving me like a 55-gallon drum of honey? I'm like, dude, I don't have that. So, anyway, like even last year... and it's so calm, you know, and Andrew's calm voice. Hey, it's like, hey, dude, I just need like a 55-gallon drum of it.
Oh, man. Yeah, and for those of you that don't know, mead is actually, it's kind of like a wine, pretty much, but it's instead of being made from grapes, it's made from honey. So honey is the main ingredient instead of a grape, and I don't understand really much about it, but it's fermented, then they turn it to a wine. I've had it. It's actually really good. It's kind of nice. Really nice.
I have not had it.
So yeah, I'm
an idiot about it. So
yeah. Well, so how did you get into the beekeeping thing? Tell us that story, because that is a unique skill set, and it's something that I really admire, but I've just never, you know, had the patience or, you know, I guess braveness to go, you know, wrestle 1,000 bees that could sting me. So how'd you get into it? It's really impressive what you've done.
Well, thank you. I don't know how impressive it is. It may be stupid, but
that's very impressive.
I don't know. The older I get, kind of the more skills I want to grow. And you know, being out here in the country, I love gardening. We've talked about gardening quite a bit. I love growing, you know, a herd of animals. You know, now I've got the cows coming up, and I've got chickens with eggs, and I'm like, well, how can I round this out? I'm never going to be you know, fully self-sufficient, but what else can I produce? And what specifically can I produce that would actually be helpful? And I just know that bees would be really helpful. If I can get a bunch of hives, that would be fantastic. And oh, by the way, that would be a really cool byproduct. And one of my personality traits really lends itself towards beekeeping, because I have a generally pretty calm, very low-key personality. And mm-hmm. that kind of a personality that, as I've learned over time, lends itself towards being a beekeeper. So that's just something that I wanted
could see
to do
that.
Over. Yeah.
Yeah, no, I could totally see that. I mean, somebody that's really like edgy and nervous and jumpy out there with a bunch of bees. I mean, I'm sure that'd be a train wreck, right?
It is a train wreck. And so I've had people ask me to coach them and teach them how to be a beekeeper. And they're like these type A, super high, edgy, just, you know, high energy, high anxiety level. And I'm like, no way. There is no way. And I try to say it in a nice way, but I'm just like, yeah. they're not going to respond well to you. So,
yeah.
Anyway, but so, now others, others that I've talked to, you know, they're low key, chill. I've even promoted. I'm like, hey, you know what? You might think about later in life if you ever want to get into this, you would do very well. They would respond mm-hmm. quite well to you.
Yeah. Interesting. So you've gone through kind of, you know, different styles of, like, you know, beehives, right? You've made uh-huh. your own.
Yep.
You know, tell everybody yep. about that, right? Because you know, like, nobody really knows what. I never knew what a beehive was till you actually showed me one. And it was really cool. It had all these panels and all that stuff. Nobody really knows what. Yeah, I always assumed the beekeeper just had some kind of, you know, gigantic, like, you know, like you see on cartoons, some big hive hanging off a tree in the backyard with a bunch of bees swarming around it.
Well,
I had no idea.
No, you could certainly do that. And I mean, when you look at parts around the world where, you know, like, you know, tribesmen in Africa are literally scaling a tree, a 200-foot tree, and they'll just go and harvest honey out of the top of it. That's not – I do the very traditional beekeeping that's been done for hundreds and hundreds of years. Matter of fact, there was a German named Langstroth, and he developed the box, you know, the traditional box that has the frames in it. And so the traditional thing is it's a box that's about, I don't know, 18 inches wide, about 12 to 14 inches tall, and about, you know, 16, 18 inches deep. And it's got these 10 frames that, you know, front and back, where it's got basically a plastic, you know, kind of a foundation or that the bees are going to put their honeycomb on. And it's built in the, you know, the hexagon form where, you know, it's kind of the perfect geometry where you can just build out these things. You know, the bees add wax to it, and then eventually they start populating that with eggs, pollen, honey. And there's this thing called propolis that they add in as well. But, so the way that I got started was, number one, an interest. Number two, the realization that I don't know how to do it myself. And this is probably not something that you want to just YouTube and go figure out yourself.
Yeah.
So I actually hired a coach, literally a woman up in Denton County, and I asked her to be my coach for a year, And she walked me through kind of the basics of beekeeping. We had five or six sessions together. And then once I was ready, I got all my equipment. And then I got with her in her bee yard, her apiary. And she started showing me real life. Like, here's how we are going to go and inspect a hive. Here's what we're going to look for as far as a healthy hive or an unhealthy hive. Here's where we're going to find our queen. Here's the workers. Here's the, you know, the drones. You know, here's everything, the signs of an unhealthy hive or healthy. And here's how you continue to kind of grow them, split them, find new queens, blah, blah, blah. So it's so nerdy. It's so fun that now I get into a conversation. If I ever want to get off topic, all I have to do is say, well, by the way, I was out inspecting bees. And they're like, oh my gosh, you're a beekeeper. And then all of a sudden we're in an totally hour deflect. Of conversation about bees.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, no, that's so fascinating. I knew that you had worked with someone, but I really did not quite understand the depth that you had gone through with her in that training. I really didn't realize that.
No, it's kind of like you into barbecuing, except I'm not nearly as deep or smart as you on barbecuing. But bees, you know, like I've read many, many books. Now I've studied how people do splits, how people do breed their own queens. Like, for example, you know, I've told you that I've had to go out and I'm on the 911 list now. So
yeah.
Like if there's a 911 call for a bee swarm out in somebody's yard, call it one of three beekeepers in this county, you know, that they'll call, or there's a bunch of municipalities around here that I'm on that list as well. And you just never know what kind of calls you're going to get, which are fascinating. And a lot of times they'll call and they'll say, well, these bees just showed up. And so I'll say, okay, fine, I can get out there this evening, and I'll go out right at sunset because that's my best time to find the swarm generally and get them all there, because at sunset they all come back, all the harvesters, all the scouts, everybody comes back.
Okay.
And so I want to get them all. I don't want to get just part of them. I want to get every single one of them so they stay together and they have the best chance for survival. So I go out at sunset, and then I work like crazy to get them all put in a box and take them off to create a new safe home for them out in the field somewhere where I'm nurturing and watching over them and all that. Now, the tricky thing is when I get the call and says, oh, well, they just got here, and then I show up and Granny is just noticed them, but they have been up in this, you know, the substructure of their house for 10 or 20 years. And I'm like,
oh, wow,
that is a very, very mature hive, and I'm going to have to tear your house to pieces to get to them. Mm. I personally don't like doing that. And then I've been called out for other things where it's a train wreck. And it's like, a buddy of mine called me out to buy Texas Motor Speedway, and he's like, Kyle, you need to go out and look at these, see if you can save them, but we're about to level the whole thing. And workers went out there and they got stung like crazy. And I think these are hot. This is a hot hive. And we need to either save them or put them to death. And so is a funny one where I got out there by Texas Motor Speed, out in the middle of nowhere. There was this old kind of outhouse, fruit house that was out in back of this old ancient house that they were about to level. I get out there and I turn my camera on, my iPhone camera on, just for fun to film. And as soon as I get up there with my smoker, and I just barely prick it, and they're in this chimney. They attacked like it was, I mean, I had 500 stingers just embedded into my iPhone. Because they were just so
into your phone screen?
Yeah, just that's like my crazy rubber case for my iPhone.
The case?
And it was just, you know, it was just nuts. And so I backed out, and it took me forever to get out of there without getting just killed. And so I called the guy and said, torch it. This is a mean hive. There's no saving. And so there's a lot of beekeepers that'll try to save hot hives like that. And they'll find the queen and they'll squish the queen. And then a day later, they'll introduce a gentle queen. And then eventually you breed in gentleness over, I don't know, the next couple of months, if you can handle it. But that says you got a lot of patience and a lot of moxie for trying to do that. A lot of beekeepers won't try that, because that's when you get, you know, the claim of, oh, well, these are Africanized bees. Well, no, they're just really mean. I mean, that's kind of what Africanized bees are, just really, really mean.
Interesting. Yeah. So you've used a lot of terminology here, like just off the top of your, you know, off the, you know, just rolling off your tongue, that you probably don't realize how technical what you just described was, actually. It's good.
I didn't mean to nerd out on you. Sorry.
No, it's good. In fact, I want to kind of go into several of these things here, right? So first thing is you talked about a number of different types of bees, right? So for me, right, just as a you know, somebody who has no clue, I mean, I know there's a queen, but outside of that, it's just a bunch of other bees, right? You use terms that, like, you know, the workers or the drones or the scouts or the harvesters. Tell us what is all that and how does all that work together? Because that's fascinating. I've never heard those terms, actually.
Yeah, yeah. Well, a healthy hive is, you know, probably around 3,000 to 10,000 bees. And so, you know, you want to have plenty of bees in there. And the queen can live from 2 to 4 years, which is crazy. And if you've got a productive queen, she'll just stay in. And she's big. She's about
longer. How long does a regular bee live?
Oh, like 40 days. I mean, it's life cycle of a normal bee is just, I mean, you're churning and burning.
It's like a month.
You're a nurse for a while. And then as soon as you get kind of ragged, then you become a harvester and you're kicked out for the back half of your life. And so the majority of bees are all females. And so that's when you hear beekeepers like me will be like, oh, there's my girls, you know, because the drones are worthless. The drones are the males, and they got one job. They got one job. That's it. And it is to basically impregnate the queen in her virgin flight. And so when you have a new queen, the queen will go out on her virgin flight, and there will probably be 10 or 20 drones that go out with her and mate, you know, with her on her virgin flight. And then she comes in and she stays in that hive forever until she dies or they kill her. And bees are terribly efficient. If they recognize they've got a bad queen, they will kill her, literally ball her.
So all of these babies come from that one flight of...
Yeah, she just keeps on throwing eggs out. I mean, just... hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of eggs every single day. That's her job.
Wow. Wow, that's crazy.
It is.
And so she lives for a couple of years then.
Yep, a couple of years. And if you got a good queen, you do whatever you can to make sure she's happy, the bees are happy, they're well fed. I mean, the nice thing, God created them in an amazing way where for people like me, we try to stay out of the way and just make sure they're in a safe spot and they can do what God created them to do. Now, if they're a weak or you're having an especially hot summer like now, I need to start probably supplementing them because there's really not a lot of pollen out. There's not a lot of flowers. It's just stinking hot. And so now it's time that I need to start prepping them for winter. And so that means I need to start feeding them syrup. And so it's a 1-to-1 sugar to hot water mix. I just mix it up, put it in a bunch of jars and get them out there. And I'll do that, you know, I don't know, once a week or so. And I'll
Set the jars around the property or where do you?
No, I've got these like cup holder things. I flip them up and they've got some little pinholes in it. And the bees can come in and basically suck that sugar water out.
Nice.
And they convert it to basically honey. And because I just harvested, you harvest once a year, or at least most beekeepers do. Like I harvest in mid to late July. So I just harvested this last. And what that means is that I got my honey for the year. And and so I got plenty of honey for you guys. And I just give it away to friends and family. I don't sell it.
No, we love it. We love it.
Yeah, most of the big beekeepers, you know, they'll sell it at farmers markets and all that. I just keep plenty for us and give it to friends. This year is really sad because we had what I call the Icemageddon, and I lost four of my big hives. They literally froze to death. I went out there and insulated them, and I put towels and wrap and hay and everything I could think of around it. But as soon as the -3 temperatures broke, I got back out there Saturday as soon as the temperatures got above freezing, and Sunday when they got into kind of the 40s, And I just took a quick peek, and they were all of mine out here in the woods that had direct exposure to that terrible north wind. They all died. The ones back by my hay, and they were all fine because they were more insulated, I think.
Oh, wow.
So they survived. But so now I'm trying to rebuild. It's just sad. You go through waves of where hives die, and you're constantly trying to rebuild and you know, splitting or growing or catching new hives. Like there's a whole science around swarm catching. Like if you build a perfect box, there's this awesome book that with these two German guys, one researched beekeeping for 35 years, and then the other one came and he took his 35 years, and then he went another 35 years on exactly how bees swarm and what you can do to create the perfect environment to catch a swarm so that you can sure that they're safe. And so there's all 70 years of research on, how they do. Anyway, it's called The Honeybee Democracy, and it's one of the better books I've ever read. I'm a nerd, but
that's crazy.
It talks about how, you know, the scouts, which are when a hive is going to swarm, they do this. They send a so if you got a hive.
Well, first of all, what causes a hive to swarm in the first place? What
generally
makes that
you
happen?
Run out of space, so the queen keeps producing, and they're running out of space. So if you're in a tree or you're in a hive box for a beekeeper, and who's not paying attention, then you know, a good queen will keep producing until you run out of space, where you're maxed out with honey or pollen or eggs or whatever, and you're just out of space. So what happens is they create a new queen, and 2/3 of that hive generally will take off with either the old queen or the new queen, and they'll go sit in a ball, literally a ball. It looks like a basket, but it literally looks like a basketball.
It looks like used to be on cartoons. This is a big ball of swarming bees.
Yeah, like Bugs Bunny or Coyote would, Roadrunner would throw it at Coyote, this basketball of bees. And that's exactly what they look like. They go hang out on the bottom of a trampoline, or one time they called me to go get it off of an ambulance in Denton Square. And you just never know. I mean, those are the easiest ones because literally I just go, like if it's in a basketball about like this, 4 feet off the ground, I go ask the homeowners, I'm like, do you mind if I cut that branch off? They're like, do whatever you got to do. And I'm like, no problem. I cut the branch off, put it in the box. 5 minutes later, I drive home.
So they will literally go with whatever.
I literally just snip the branch off, lower it down into my box, put the cover on, get it in my truck, and I drive home.
Oh, that's crazy,
and then I just put
man.
Them in a new box, and they're like, oh, okay, thanks. Great home.
Yeah. This is what we're looking for.
This is exactly it.
This is what we've been struggling for.
Yeah, and so people, they're like, well, can I pay you? And I'm like, no, you don't need to pay me. You just gave me some free bees,
Yeah.
This is awesome.
Yeah.
But there are plenty of, I don't know. Beekeepers out
so
there.
What are the harvesters and the scouts and that stuff? What are these guys doing? Are these the types of workers, or are they different from the worker bee?
No. There's a whole bunch of different roles. So obviously the queen is the alpha role that they want to take care of the queen, and there's only one queen. And a lot of times they'll reproduce, like if the old queen dies but they have plenty of eggs, then they'll recraft 7 to 10 different eggs, and they'll put them into queen cells and pump this queen jelly in there. And then, 21 days later, they hatch. And the first one that hatches will then go around the rest of the hive. And as soon as the other ones come out, they kill it, So it's a fight to the death.
Wow.
So the surviving queen goes on her, flight and comes back, and then she's the queen. But the other roles are, since I mentioned you have only a handful of males, they're called the drones, and they're real big. People mistake them for the queens. They're real big and fat. They're big, big fat bodies. So they're really obvious. You're like, oh, there's a drone. And they don't sting, which
is
kind of
interesting.
Sounds like
a typical American male, right? It's big, fat, not adding much value.
Yeah, just a big, fat, unuseful. And it just consumes. And that's the sad thing, is just consumes all the good stuff. And they're like, well, we got a good queen. We really don't need you anymore. But whatever. Yeah. And then the rest of them are all females, and they have the different roles. You have some that are like they sit at the entrance and they just fan to keep it cool. There are some that are
really
kind of
really.
Yeah, there are some that are mortuary bees. Like all their job, their whole life is just carrying dead bees out. Literally, they'll just pick it up and just carry it out the entrance and then chunk it out.
And then come back and get the next one.
Yeah, go back and get the next one. And then, nurses are probably the most important ones. They're making sure the eggs are good, making sure the queen's good. And that's about half. And then once you get to a certain age, then you get the boot and you are a harvester. And they're going out getting pollen and, they're pollinating and doing their thing.
And those are the ones that bring back the pollen that makes the honey, right?
Uh-huh, uh-huh.
And so those are the older bees get kind of... Yep. They've already done a job, you're saying, one of these other jobs, and then they get too old for that. So they're like, okay, you got to go just bring us back stuff to make honey.
Yeah, you're just doing your however many flights per day to go.
Oh,
and they load up their little, they got these little bags on their arms, and they just look. It's funny when you see a full bee. It's so cute because they'll just like jam this pollen into all these little arm sacks, and they'll just have pollen everywhere, and you'd be like, oh, well, boy, she's full, and she lands and it's just like unload a Tonka truck.
That's incredible. I had no idea, man.
Yeah. So they, and I mean, busy as a bee. They just work and work and work and work. And a lot of them will go get water. A lot of them will go get pollen and bring it back. And then they're converting, all that stuff into, honey for the most part, food stores or propolis, which is, kind of a lot of people use it for a health aid too. Anyway,
so propolis, what is that? Is that the stuff that's like inside the little honeycomb cells?
Yeah,
is
that- I should know more. I don't really use the propolis. A lot of people think it's tremendously valuable. And it's a byproduct of what they use. So they'll store pollen into these, these honeycombs. And a lot of that they'll convert into the stuff called propolis, which you can extract it too and convert it to all kinds of medicinal needs and whatnot. So I don't ever mess with that. I leave that stuff alone. I just pull, when I'm like this weekend, I just pull the honey frames out. And when you pull them out, I mean, it's like, like double clutch. It's like, oh crap, that's like 10 pounds of honey on this one frame because it's just capped and full and beautiful. And that's all
amazing.
I ever mess with. Other than just, I'll pull the frames and make sure that they're good with eggs and whatnot. And like I've got one out here that's kind of underproducing. The queen's not very active, so I'm worried about her. She's not pulling her weight, let's put it that way.
So you mentioned earlier that there's like a healthy hive, an unhealthy hive, a hot hive. What's the difference? I mean, what causes, number one, what's the difference between healthy, unhealthy, and what causes a hive to become unhealthy? And then what may make it become hot?
Yeah, hot, I really don't know. I just know when I see one. And when I have one, and I know I don't like
it. But it's
like
different than the swarming situation, right? They're not swarming. Yeah. It's just a
swarming
angry
is
hive.
Swarming is a natural part of the bee life cycle. If it's a healthy hive, they're going to grow. And if you're not paying attention or paying attention close enough, then they're going to swarm on you. Like for me, as they grow, if I'm paying attention, as I see they're like, they'll build out, if I've got 10 frames, if they build out 8 frames, I'm like, oh, time for me to give them another box. And then I put another box on top with 10 new frames, and that gives them plenty of space. I'm like, don't want you leaving. Have plenty of space. Yeah. So, you just, as a good beekeeper, you're just constantly watching that and giving them space and then contracting down, as well. Like I just harvested this honey, so now I'm going to contract down because I stole some of their honey. They didn't like it, but I did it anyway. But now I want to make sure they've just got plenty for winter stores. And so now I'm going to help them start building up for winter stores. And I want them to have plenty, plenty, plenty to eat over the winter. So
then what's an unhealthy hive?
An unhealthy hive is one where you don't have a queen, basically, or you've got an underperforming queen. And you can see that real quick. So, like, you get in and you start inspecting, and you're like, okay, I have bees in here, but you know, I'm not seeing eggs. I'm not seeing, you know, and that's the big deal is you don't, you lift the frames up and you're inspecting both sides and you're like, oh crap, I don't have any eggs. Then you're, you know, you're screwed and you're like, I've got to go buy a queen. And you can literally go, you know, $25. I can call, you know, some of these bee outfits and have them ship me a queen. Or oh, I can go, what I like to do is I'm too cheap for that. I'll go and see if I can get these bees to make their own. And what I'll do is I'll go to one of my hives, my big mature hives, and I'll go quickly through there and I'll find a frame full of 2-day-old eggs. And it's very, very specific. If I can find a frame with 2-day-old eggs, they look like these tiny, tiny little bitty white larvae inside the hexagon. If I can see that, I'm like, bingo, I got it. And so I take that, I shake off all the existing bees in that one, and I'll run over and I'll put it in kind of the weak hive. And then what that does is that sends the alarm off to those nurses in there that they're like, uh-oh, game on. We recognize we don't have a queen. Here's some 2-day-old eggs. I'm going to create some queen cells. And so they start pumping 100% queen jelly in there. They reformat the cell a little bit so it's a little bit elongated. And all of a sudden, I'll go in there 5 days later, and they've got, you know, 6 queen cells on this one frame. And I'm like, bingo. And then whatever, 18 days, it's a 21-day cycle.
That is amazing. 18
days later, I come in there, and the 6 queens have hatched. And it's fight to the death. One of them emerges, and then I see this beautiful golden queen, and I'm like, yes, you know. So I just created my own queen.
That is incredible. I had no idea.
Nah, it's fun. You just got to pay attention. So it's just all about paying attention. So if you have weak hives, they're going to die if you don't get them a queen. So you've got to do something and interact with them.
Wow, that is amazing.
But the hot hives... You know, it's just they're mean. You know, you go in there and they're mean. I don't like those. Like, I had to kill my first hive last year. I had to go over to my sister-in-law's house, and my niece and nephew were getting stung jumping on the trampoline. And I went over there, had a huge hive under their shop. And that was the first hive I've ever had to actually kill because they were mean. I mean, I got up under there, started trying to save them. And they were just going crazy. And this was in a real dense neighborhood. And so then I asked my brother-in-law, I'm like, okay, well, sorry, we got to bust the power washer out and put the Dawn, you know, soap in there. And you soap them out. Literally, you kill them
with that what it is?
Dish soap. Yeah, because they can't process through that. And so literally, I just soaped them. And so that's the one and only time I've ever had to kill off, just because they were dangerous. So
yeah. Now tell me about the smoker. I've always been fascinated about that. You kind of do this Jedi trick. You put a smoker on. It's like a Jedi mind game, and suddenly they just all relax or something. What's that all about?
Yeah. No, that's what you think. You think it's this Jedi trick, and that's what I thought. Is like, oh well, I'm going to smoke them, and it either going to scare them, or it's a Jedi mind trick, or whatever. It's the exact opposite. So. The logical thing is that if you and I smell smoke, we think, oh, there's a fire. Let's react. And so that the bees are just that smart. They're like, wait a minute. There's smoke coming in. I need to go into the hive, load my little pockets up with pollen and honey so that I've got a long flight ahead of me so that I can prepare for that. So all that does for the beekeeper is it's a huge distraction. So that the bees go into the hive and they start working and frantically filling up their pockets with honey and whatever else so that I can get in there and work. It's just a huge distraction.
They think there's a fire and we're going to have to like stock up on snacks because we're about to fly a long distance to find a new home. Is that what it is?
That's right. That's exactly right.
That's amazing.
So it's kind of mean, but it works for beekeepers because you just need a distraction because you don't want them thinking about you. Because you know, it's interesting. I know when things have turned poorly. Like my goal in life is to eventually be able to have the ability to go out into my bee yard with just shorts and a baseball cap on. I can't do that yet. I'm in full beekeeping paraphernalia. My goal is eventually to be that guy, but I'm not nearly there yet. Because I know when things have turned, when the bees are not focused on fire escape, they're focused on me as like an angry bear that's trying to get their honey, because you smell this pheromone. There's a very distinct smell when they get pissed off, and it's remarkable. So I know when a hive turns and gets mad at me, and they're stinging my gloves and whatever, and I'm like, oh crap.
And you can smell the scent.
I smell it first. It's a pheromone they send off, and they know exactly where to sting and where the weak parts are of the bear or me or whatever. So, like for example, like I had one feral hive that I pulled out of a tree one year, and I was trying to save them, but I knew they were kind of angry. And I went in late October to start winterizing them and get them ready. And this was over at my mother-in-law's house in Denton. I had a bunch of hives over there. And this was back when I had my first kind of poor man's bee suit. And it was a very thin cotton layer. And I'd wear, you know, my leather gloves, and then I'd wear a short sleeve t-shirt underneath. But I had about a 2-inch band of only one layer of cloth between my short sleeve t-shirt and my leather gloves on each arm. And so these bees, they were so mad, so quick, that they found where I had a weakness, and they started stinging me through that one layer on that 2-inch gap. And I felt the first one, and then I smelled the pheromone, and I'm like, this is not going to end well. And then they got me on the left arm. That was a right arm. Then they got me on the left arm. And before I could like pack it up and get the whole hive back in order and safe, I probably got 25 stings on each arm in that 2-inch, you know, band, because they were so mean. They ended up dying that winter, which was good. But it was that was my first and only really, really mean hive that I raised myself. And I pulled them out of an old oak tree that fell over and thought I could do a good thing in saving them. But I was kind of happy when they died, unfortunately.
But they were okay kind of at first, then they just kind of turned mean.
Yeah, I don't know, schizophrenic or something. I don't know what's the matter with those guys, but I was not sad when they died that winter. You know, I was like, oh, yeah, good riddance, suckers.
So is it true or is it a myth that they can only sting one time, and once they lose their stinger, they die? Is that true or false?
No, game over. They sting you once. Now, wasps and yellow jackets and all that, they can sting repeatedly. A queen can sting repeatedly. A honeybee queen can sting you limitless times. But everybody else, you know, all the females, and the males, again, are worthless. They don't even have a stinger. But all the females.
Oh, they don't? The males don't have a stinger at all?
No, it's just one and done for the females that come after you. And you hear it too. It's a loud buzz when they get mad. So it's that bzzz. You're like, okay, y'all need to settle down, you know?
Yeah.
Because normally it's just a real calm, bzzz, you know, just a really, it's almost a calming sound, but then it's a real agitated, you know, they're banging into my mesh net and all that. I'm like, okay, y'all just need to settle down. I'm just here to help, you know?
Yeah, yeah. So, now, do you know why they die after one sting? I mean, something like, you know, pulls a plug and...
Yeah, no, it's actually part of their abdomen that gets torn away.
Oh,
so,
okay.
I mean, they literally physically can't survive after they sting. Because when the stinger comes out, part of their abdomen comes off too. So,
oh, wow.
Yeah, it's when we, you know, it's sad, but that's what happens. So I try to just be super chill and calm, because I don't want anybody stinging me, because I don't want any of my girls dying. But it does happen.
Yeah. Yeah.
It definitely happens.
So what's the deal with this Africanized bee stuff? You know, you read about it or you hear about it, and it sounds like, you know, they're these evil bees. I guess they're from Africa. I don't know what that means. And they're just, you know, vicious or something? Or is that overblown?
No, I don't know if it's overblown. I know there are probably other honeybee species that really are, you know, really bad. But the ones that we have in America, for the most part, you'll just get some angry hives, or you'll have, you know, them placed in a bad spot where somebody comes across it, like mows across it, and, you know, you're toast, you know. Because if you just mowed a hive, they're going to be mad at you and go after you, is because you just attack them.
They're not going to be happy.
No, but I know there are Africanized bees. I've certainly not had an experience with that. I've just had hot hives that are just poorly behaved, and they don't need to continue to reproduce. Like that one out of Texas Motor Speedway, they were generations and generations and generations of really angry, mean bees, and you're like, nope, we are not saving you, friends. So anyway, that's my opinion on it. I may be dead wrong. I'm sure, you know, somebody out there knows a lot more about Africanized bees, but I believe they're just, you know, they all have their own personalities. And I like to breed as gentle as I can, and it really starts from the queen. If the queen's gentle, you want to continue that kind of genetic line, so you have gentle, really chill hives, which is cool.
Yeah. Yeah, that's amazing. So, you know, these bees, honeybees, are not native, right? Are they? Is there a different type of bee that's like native to Texas or North America that's different than the honeybees?
I don't know. I don't know the answer to that. I really should know more, but I know there are a couple of major like types, like the Italians and the it starts with an M. I can't remember them. Yeah, there are two major breeds of bees that you get, and then there's another one that I just got a box of. I bought a box this year of bees. They love it when they come into the post office. You get 5,000 bees in a box at the post office.
Are you serious?
You get that call from the post office, and you're like, you know, sir, can you please come get these right now? I'm like, hey, no problem, man. I'll be right.
Had no idea you could mail a beehive. I had no clue. Oh, yeah,
queens. You can send a queen, and they'll send five attendants with it, you know, to keep the queen okay for the duration of the couple of days. And then you put that queen in there. You don't want to introduce the queen too much. It should be over 3 days so they get the smell. And then there's really a marshmallow or a piece of candy on the end. And by the time that they can eat through that, it's 2 or 3 days. And that way they'll get to smell each other over those 3 days. You just put it in between a couple of frames, and then they'll eat through that piece of candy or marshmallow over 2 or 3 days. And they've accepted the smell and kind of the queenhood by then. So when she gets out, they're like, nah, okay, she's the queen. This is great.
Wow.
You know, finally we have amazing. A queen. Yeah.
I have no idea. incredible.
It's fun. And then there's this other thing that people really get a kick out of. So when I talk about the scouts, it's pretty fascinating to see, you know, when they get in this ball, so you have 5,000 bees in a ball, which is pretty intimidating to look at. But assuming in that, you've probably got 300 to 500 scouts, you know, and they're going all day. They're flying within about a 5 mile radius of that ball, and they're trying to look for the perfect dimensions of the perfect new home. And what
now,
they do
are
is
the
they,
scouts are the scouts only in that role when there's some kind of a swarm going on, or do they?
Yeah, yeah, okay. It's pretty interesting. You've got
so
you've
otherwise
got scouts,
they would have a different job.
Apparently the 70 years of research these guys did, they found that, you know, during that swarm time, you know, you're going to have 300 to 500 scouts, and then you're going to have these other types of bees that are kind of these buglers, and believe it or not, they're like blowing.
Buglers?
Like they're blowing their bugle once the scouts all agree on the new home. They call
Are you
their,
serious?
They like bugle out. They're like, ah, you know, and then all of a sudden everybody releases and then goes to where the scouts guide them to. So
that is unbelievable.
It's pretty fun. But what the cool thing is, these scouts, they do this waggle dance on the surface of the ball, which is of the bee swarm ball, which is so cool. And all they're trying to do is they're saying, hey, by the way, I found a really cool home for us. I want you other scouts to go check it out. And the waggle dance is they literally wiggle their booty. And they do that in the vector that the new home is for the number of seconds that it takes a bee to go to that new home.
No way.
So it's the vector and the number of seconds that it's going to do. So then what they're trying to then they'll get a couple other scouts and they go check it out, and then they come back.
So
and
you're saying they know how many seconds it takes to get over there.
Yeah. Yeah,
and they are communicating through body language. We're going that way, and this is how long it's going to take.
Yeah. So then,
that's incredible.
So eventually, they'll get all 300 scouts doing the waggle dance, that in the same vector in the same direction, and they're like, "Okay, And that's why they call it the honeybee democracy, that they all 100% agree, you're right, this is the perfect new home. And that's when the buglers are like, beep, you know, and they all let go and they go to that new home. It's the coolest thing ever.
That is absolutely amazing.
Yeah.
I had no idea.
See, that's when I geek out and I start talking to people about waggle dances and stuff like that. And they're like, okay, that's cool. I had no idea. Bees are cool.
Bees are cool. This is really, really, really fascinating. I had no idea. Wow.
Yep. So then I harvested honey this weekend, and you know, normally I'll get, I don't know, eight gallons of honey, and I just put it in a bunch of bottles and whatever. Give it away to friends.
Now we love it. We love it when we get our honey every year. We love it. We use it.
Yeah.
You know, all throughout the year. I use it.
Yeah, so this year
every weekend in the barbecue stuff.
It was a big fat disappointment this year. I probably only got about 2.5-3 gallons this year.
Oh,
it's still enough for family and friends, but you know, and it's really nice because this year is really light and yellow, real light yellow, kind of amber. Like last year, it was dark and kind of rich and musky, and this one's light and kind of fluffy taste. And you're just like, okay, wow, those flowers were really cool that they pulled this year. And it's all a matter of the pollen or the flowers around, which is cool.
Yeah. Yeah, that's incredible. So, okay, first of all, what's the name of the book? You mentioned it earlier. What's the exact name?
The Honeybee Democracy is the one that I get a kick out of.
Honeybee Democracy. Okay.
Yeah, and that I've tried to apply management lessons to that of like, hey, we could really learn from the bees if we try to share ideas and gain consensus.
Then you started shaking your booty towards where you wanted to build the next
property.
That's
right, and I started bugling and shaking my booty, and they're like, okay, that's unnecessary.
Sit down. Sit down. You're leaving this meeting.
Yeah, yeah, that's a terrible idea, Kyle. Yeah.
And so if somebody wants to get into this, and like you're almost convincing me here to get into it, this is so cool. I had no idea.
You've got a personality where you're chill enough, you could do it.
Yeah, yeah.
Well,
what would you recommend for people that want to get into it? It seems really overwhelming to get started, actually. I mean,
you've got to be prepared to be stung by a bee, and that's not fun. I mean, there's a reason why they call it a sting, and so for about a minute, it stings, and you're like, oh, well, that didn't feel very good. And then it's itchy for, I don't know, a little while, but whatever, it's fine. I mean, for me, it's no big deal, and I don't need an epi shot or anything like that. I just like, crap, you know, I just got stung again. Or
one crawls up my boot
into my, you know, the middle of my suit, and it's flying around my face, and I'm like, well, that's anxiety-ridden right there. But anyway.
That's intense. So, I think one sting, I'd be out. So that's pretty hardcore, man.
I think you'd be fine with it, but you have to be prepared to do that. And then you probably just need to watch some videos and like, okay, well, what's it all about? And which is fun. There's a billion YouTube videos out there. And then you get a guy like me to be your kind of mentor and coach. Like I'm coaching a couple of people from church this year, and they're doing fantastic.
Oh, nice.
I'm just so proud of them. They're just killing it. And not
very cool.
Yeah, they're doing real well.
Not killing the bees.
Yeah, no, they're actually doing very, very well. So
yeah, no, it sounds like the mentor is really the key, right? Or at least one of the really critical parts of it, because it sounds like you really get some real world experience.
You do. It really helps if you can get some hands on, because you got to get over the fear factor of kind of getting into a beehive the first and second time by yourself, and having somebody with you to do that and show you what to do and not to freak out. It really, really helps. But this is kind of a lifelong, as I get to be an older man, this is something I can do because it is truly a no-tech hobby. You know, I don't need any technology. It's me. I make all my stuff out of pallets, you know, and so I can find pallets anywhere. I break them down and I woodwork them into, you know, frames and boxes, and it's fine. It's easy. It's a super fun hobby. Yeah.
That's so cool.
Anyway.
Well, hey, man, thanks for talking about this. This was amazing. I really learned a lot. I really had no idea how...
I'm sure,
and how smart the bees are and all the jobs. It's incredible.
Well, they
absolutely
are smart.
Incredible.
Yeah, they're smart. Well, I appreciate it. I hope I didn't put anybody to sleep with this, but it's easy to nerd out on something like this.
Yeah. What's the most disastrous bee story you've got? I remember one time you picked up like some kind of big spool or something that had a bee issue. Is that the worst? Yeah. The worst one you've had? Or what's the most funny, worst bee story you got?
That's probably the worst, with the worst repercussions, because I went and got this giant spool of bees, and it probably had 20, 30,000 bees in it. I literally just picked it up and put it in the back of my truck, brought it home, and put it out in the back of the pasture.
Who does that? Who says, oh, there's a big spool of, you know, big wooden spool with a bunch of bees, and you just pick it up and throw it in your truck. Who does that?
And it was the biggest hive by far that I've ever gotten. I'm talking 30,000 bees in it. It was massive. And then on Saturday morning, I get out there and I'm like, well, I need to break it down and put them into these Langstroth boxes and their appropriate thing. So I started tearing this thing apart, and then I'm cutting all this honeycomb out and putting it in its frames. And see, these bees are going nuts. And so what I didn't know is about 200 yards away, my wife came out of the garage and went to the barn, was checking on horses or whatever. And I just hear her screaming and running. And that is the worst experience with the worst repercussions, because I've tried to keep it separated and away from my family. But she probably got stung 8 or 10 times in the head. And
my gosh.
Because they all got
so
in
so they
hair.
Just like went straight across the property and just they like started
mad.
Going after
her. They were stinging the horses. They were stinging the dogs. And then they stung Amy when she came out.
And you brought a giant spool of these home.
30,000 angry bees.
30,000 of them.
Yeah, so I haven't done that again. I take them out to deep, way out in the middle of a pasture. I do my thing out there. I don't bring them home anymore.
Oh, man, that's awesome.
Anyway.
All right. Well, this is awesome stuff, man. Thanks for taking us through the beekeeping world. This is fantastic.
I appreciate it. Yeah, thanks for listening.
Well, y'all, look us up. Leave us a review. We're out there everywhere. Apple, Spotify, iHeartRadio, a bunch of other stuff. Tell your friends and family about us. Adios. Bye.
Adios.